The second half of the message on spiritual gifts. If you weren't here last Wednesday, you're jumping in halfway through. So we started out just trying to frame this whole subject of spiritual gifts by understanding a few things. It's important for us, really, if we're going to understand this from a biblical perspective, to get it in its biblical context, and that is understanding why are gifts given, what is their purpose, where do they come from, who has them, all those kinds of things. So we answered those questions last time, but three things I think we have to keep in our minds, three truths that we have to keep in our minds as we think through this reality is, number one, Christ is, Matthew 16:18, Christ is building His church. After He ascended back up to the Father and He gave gifts to men, He gave those gifts to the church for the edification of the church. So Christ is building His church, and that would be us, it's the people. And then Christ is using the building blocks. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, we're lively stones being built upon one another for a spiritual habitation. He is using the building blocks or the members of the church to help build up or edify the church. And these gifts were given so that the church as a whole could be built up. And then I think maybe we hit a couple of these slides last time, but just so that we didn't jump in the middle somewhere, I wanted to go back over this. And so it's very important for us to understand, as it relates to spiritual gifts, while there are various gifts that are given and there are different measures of the same gift. So, for example, you have preachers that have all kinds of different gifts. And abilities and approaches, and all that is given by the Lord. So today I was, I went to the funeral of Elder Larry Wise, and then after spent some time with Isaac Tim and Nathan Guest. So four guys there who are all called to preach. And none of us are the same. You could give all four of us the same text, and we would get up and preach it, and it would be hopefully similar in content, but very, very different. That's by design. Christ gives different gifts to the church for the good of the church. He did not gift me so that I could build myself up or so that I could use it for my agenda. And this is one of the things that can be a little bit different than sometimes the more contemporary view on spiritual gifts. God did not gift you so you could sit back and bask in how special you are or how unique you are. He did not give you a gift so you could sit back and look at the gift and be impressed with yourself. God has gifted you so that you can serve the body. And so one of the things that we said last time, and we want to continue to say this, is that the gifting that you have received, we ask the question, who is it that's received a gift? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, He gave gifts to us all, unto you all. And those gifts have been given so that you might glorify God as you serve the body. And that's the purpose for every gift that's given to the church, whether it be a preaching gift, whether it be a gift as it relates to music and leading singing, whether it relates to administration, whatever it is, encouragement, whatever it is, those have been given so that we can serve one another and in doing that, glorify God. So it's not for me. It's not from me. It's not for me. And we can really become useless when we get that mixed up. We can become useless when we think our gifting is for ourselves, and paralyzed, arrogant. If we want to be acknowledged more than we're being acknowledged, and those kinds of things. And we talked about some of that last time. The gifting that you have is from God and is for the building up of His church. Also, your Christ-given gift is meant to help you grow in Christ-like character. So in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Jesus says, "I did not come to be served, but I came to serve and to give my life a ransom for many." As we're being conformed more and more to the image of Jesus Christ, the gifting that you've been given by Christ through the Spirit is given to you so that you can grow as a servant. And you have opportunities to serve as you look around. You can serve in capacities that go outside of these four walls or outside of the people even who are in this room. But primarily, on a consistent basis, these are the men and women who you are going to be serving on a regular basis, because these are the people that you're going to be walking with, you're going to be living with. These are the people that whenever we have prayer requests, you know what they're struggling with. You know ways that you can serve. John 6:38, Jesus said, "I did not come to do my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." And then we've already hit this, but just so we get it, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21, I think it is important for us to make sure when we're thinking about gifts and really anything else, this is the ultimate goal. Unto Him, that is, unto the Father, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. God's ultimate goal is that He might receive glory in the church through you. Now that tells us a few things. Number one, one of the reasons, really the ultimate reason, why we assemble and why we come together to worship is for God's glory. I've said this before, but so often you hear complaints about people who say, "Well, you know, I go to church and I just don't get anything out of it." And really the question is, what did God get out of you? Right? We didn't come here. I mean, getting something out of it is a good secondary thing that happens. But primarily, we're here to present ourselves a living sacrifice to the Lord, that our hearts and minds might be renewed as we're transformed rather than conformed to the world. And so we're here so that He might receive glory in the church. As it relates to the gifting that you've given, and I think this is important, God is going to receive glory in the church through you as you are actively using the gifts that you've been given. So that's contrary to the idea that I'm just going to show up, sit down, get up, and leave. There's going to be some interacting. No one's gift is to sit quiet. Okay? No one's gift is to critique. No one's gift is to complain. Okay? Your gift is to serve in some capacity. And I said this last time, and it'll be a little more as we go a little further, a little more apparent here. I think it's probably a lot more helpful for us to think in terms of service opportunities than spiritual gifts. Sometimes people wonder, what is the gift that the Lord has given me and how am I gifted? Well, if the end goal of the gift is that you are serving people and God is sovereignly giving you the gift and then sovereignly opening up these opportunities, then if you can pay attention to, or if you can catch on to, the service opportunities that are around you, then that's going to be a whole lot more helpful than you sitting around thinking about yourself for weeks, years, trying to decide what you're good at. The purpose is to serve. And so where is God opening up those opportunities for you? We could say more than that, but that's at least something. So your gifts are meant to magnify and glorify God as you use them to serve Him through serving others. Now, this is a little bit of a side note, but just to see how this fits into what we've been saying, what about the gift of tongues? What about the gift of tongues? Now, just in all transparency, the reason I put this in here, this was for Fight of Faith, and Brother Mike said, "I want you to hit something on the gift of tongues." So that's why this is here. In Acts chapter 2, we read about the gift of tongues, I think for the first time. particularly in the New Testament. And so the way that this happens, and I'm giving a synopsis of the text. You can read the text on your own. The way that this happens is the apostles are filled with the Spirit. We're talking about the day of Pentecost here. They are filled with the Spirit in a way that they had not been before. And then they begin in Acts 2:4, the end of the verse, they begin to speak in other tongues. So this is something that they had not been doing before. And then as the Jewish apostles are speaking in a multitude of languages or in tongues, we would say, all of a sudden they could be understood by each ethnic group that was in attendance. Now, if you read verses 5 through 12, you'll see there were people there who were not Jews. And there were people there, I want to say there were listed, and I can't remember exactly, but I think there's 7 different ethnicities that are listed there who were not Jews. And all of a sudden, they start looking around at each other saying, "What? Wait a minute, what is going on here? These guys are not learned. They're not educated people. We can understand in our own tongue what's being said." Now, again, remind me again why it was that Jesus gave gifts to the church, so that we might glorify God as we serve one another. What happens after these men begin to speak in tongues, languages that could be understood? Well, Peter preaches that powerful message, the sermon there at Pentecost, and thousands were converted and were added to the church that day. So we're going to go to another spot here, but the gift of tongues fits into this understanding, this biblical understanding that the ascended Christ through the Spirit is giving gifts, and that gift was not for the apostles to be put in some kind of a spotlight. That gift was given so that they could serve other people who would have not been served otherwise. Now, the other passage that is a pretty popular go-to passage as it relates to tongues is 1 Corinthians 14. I will turn there. We're going to read the first 5 verses. 1 Corinthians 14, and this is in the section in 1 Corinthians, starting back in verse 12, where gifts are brought up and addressed in chapter 13. It's the love chapter. Then in chapter 14, Paul says, "Follow after charity," in verse 1, "and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying." Now, a couple of things here. Number one, Paul says in verse 1, "Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy." So Paul is saying in this comparison between prophesying and speaking in tongues, he's saying, follow after charity. That is, your gift ought to be used as an avenue to love others in the church. Now, he's going to spend, we're just looking at 5 verses, but he's going to spend these 5 verses really saying it would be better for you to prophesy than it would be to speak in tongues, because if you prophesy, people can understand and they can be built up and edified. If you're speaking in tongues, you're really just speaking to yourself unless you interpret. So, number one, your gift ought to be used as an avenue to love others. Verse 2, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now, essentially what Paul's saying is an individual who speaks in an unknown tongue is wasting the time of those who are around him, or her for that matter. Sometimes people look at this verse 2 and they say, well, the gift of tongues is a secret prayer language, maybe, that an individual uses as they pray to the Lord. That's not what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, use your gift to love one another. And then he's saying, if you speak in an unknown tongue, you're not speaking to men. In other words, you're not doing that for those who are in the audience. You may be speaking to God, but even then, it's a mystery in the sense of it can't be decoded. So we could say a whole lot more about that, but Paul's saying an individual who's speaking in an unknown tongue is wasting the time of those who are around him. And then in verse 3, those who prophesy in a known tongue, they speak edification, exhortation, and comfort to those who are around. The emphasis here being they can understand what you're saying. And then verses 4 and 5, the goal is the edification of others. So Paul says in verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. There's the comparison contrast. Now, what is this unknown tongue that he's talking about? Well, when you get to the end of verse 5, he says it would be edifying if it's interpreted, which means someone would be able to decode what's being said. I would argue, based on Acts 2, based on this passage in 1 Corinthians 14, and this is obviously not original with me, that the whole business of tongues is not some irrational jibber-jabber that you do when you get caught up in the Spirit. It's speaking a different language. And so I do this every time I go into Nicaragua. I speak English. That's an unknown tongue. And then Brother Timothy interprets that so that the church could be edified. When we've gone to Siberia, or when the brothers go to India, or wherever, we're going and we are speaking in an unknown tongue. And the reality is, you could have as gifted a preacher as you wanted to have overseas, and if all they can do is preach in English, the best sermon they've ever preached in their life, it doesn't do a thing because the congregation can't understand it. Unless there's a man to interpret. And so, again, the gift of tongues. This gift of tongues is the ability to speak more than one language. You can see in Acts chapter 2, this was a supernatural ability that the apostles had. It was something that the Spirit gave them, and they were able to speak in multiple languages there. But the gift is one that is also... there are some people that just have a knack for languages, and that can be used to edify the church. One guy that's that way is Matt Bell. Matt Bell went with us to Siberia back in 2019, and he had never spoken to a Russian person before he got there. And he did a little bit of brushing up, and about halfway through the trip, he's having full conversations with the guy in the front seat in Russian as we're going to the thing, and I'm thinking, who is this guy? Now, it's broken up a little bit, but the guy can understand Matt, and Matt can understand the guy. And, of course, that takes a lot of motivation, a lot of discipline, a lot of interest. And as it relates to languages, I have none of those. I came back from Russia in 2019, and I was really determined that what needed to happen to be able to further that was to learn the language. And I spent about 2 weeks thinking about that and hadn't thought about it since. I got back from Nicaragua, and Brother Zach was all fired up about doing the Duolingo Spanish thing, and I did about 2 weeks of that. So unless the Spirit miraculously helps me to master a language in 2 weeks, that's just not going to happen for me. There are other things that I'm going to be spending my time doing and areas where I think the Lord has gifted me to serve that for me takes a higher priority than trying to learn another language. That being said, I praise God for people like Timothy, people like Matt, and others who are able to do that and help serve the church through that. Now, let's think practically for a minute about these spiritual gifts and how you can figure out what you've been given, what's your spiritual gift. This is a bit of a review. God's given you your gifts so that you can open them up and you can give them away. They're not about you and they're not for you. God has given spiritual gifts to equip His people for service opportunities. So again, the question is, where and how can I serve? And, you know, I've mentioned these kinds of things before, but there's a lot of things that have to happen. And we don't want to nail our maybe I should wait until I get to the next slide before I say this. And then you're meant to use and develop your God-given abilities in those God-given opportunities to serve others so that God might receive glory. So, the gifting that you've been given, more than likely, is a skill that you can grow, that you can add to, that can become more edifying as you use it. I mean, you know this already, but when someone is gifted in the area of preaching, their first message is not their best. Their first year is not their best. Hopefully, the longer they do it and the more skillful they become in studying, by the way, that's a skill, in putting sermons together, that's a skill, in getting up and addressing the congregation, that's a skill. The Spirit has to bless all those skills, but there's a development of skills that go into that, then it becomes more and more edifying to the congregation. Same thing with deacons. The longer that they serve in that capacity, the more aware they are of the different areas where they need to be paying attention and where they need to be serving and need to be addressing and so forth and so on. Same thing with lead and singing. I imagine that your ability to pitch and all those kinds of things, your comfort level, all that stuff grows because it's primarily a skill that the Lord is blessing you to use to serve other people. And we could throw a bunch of other ones in there if we wanted to. All right, how to find your gifts. Now, sometimes people wrongly think that God has given them one gift. And until they're able to identify that one gift, they are unable to serve. And sometimes people get caught on the roller coaster of this idea and they can go years being useless because they've spent all their time thinking about themselves. Instead of, and maybe in not meaning to, but instead of looking for ways that they could be serving. Again, it's much more helpful to be thinking in terms of participation in service opportunities. And there are different service opportunities in different seasons of life. Okay, so one of the things I brought up at Fight of Faith is for younger ladies, and Sister Laurie, Brother Brady Thompson's wife, Sister Laurie brought this up several years ago at Fight of Faith, that one of the ways that the young ladies could help serve in their church is maybe every now and then helping a mother with a young child who hasn't been able to sit through a sermon, in a year or two, just by taking the child for a service and letting her sit through and listen without being distracted. Well, you say, well, how does the Holy Spirit do that? How do you know if the Spirit has sprinkled that gift down on you or not? Okay. Well, you don't. You just recognize this is something I can do. And maybe you find out that the Spirit has gifted you with babies in a particular way, that you're good at it, but you take the service opportunity and figure it out. Maybe you figure out after you try it the first time, you're not good at it at all. But you're not going to know until you try. You're probably not going to be able to do that same thing when you're a young mother yourself. There are different seasons where you can do different things. And there are other ways that we could talk about that. But if we're thinking service opportunities, then we're thinking in the right direction. So, for instance, I've brought this up before too, and I'll bring it up again. It is a tremendous benefit to everybody in the building that Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, Brother Scott sticks around after we're all gone and empties the trash and makes sure that the toilets are flushed and makes sure that things are just kind of cleaned up before we come and try to worship. You ever try to focus on a sermon whenever a toilet's been full for a week and the smell is just penetrating the sanctuary? Okay. Probably not going to be able to focus very well. Okay. That's not that hard. Okay. Brother Scott didn't have to take classes to figure that out. He's just aware. This is a way I can serve. And he's done it week after week after week after week. And so thinking a little more into the different seasons and giftings and so forth and so on, one of the ways that you can figure out where it is that the Lord is gifting you is paying attention to where are people already noticing and affirming God's giftings in your life. So you could ask a pastor, you could ask your parents, you could ask some older, wiser people who know you, you know, those who actually know you and have observed you for a while. And then just paying attention with any sort of feedback that you're getting from people. Where are you already being affirmed? What are you good at? There are some things that you're good at, some things that maybe you're natural at. What are those things? Second, and you saw this one coming from as many times as I brought it up tonight anyway, where is God giving you opportunities to serve? Where is God giving you opportunities to serve? You know, you've heard me say this before, but you should not be simply praying that God would send you opportunities to serve. You should be praying that God would bless you to recognize the opportunities He's already sending and that you would be humble enough to serve as your abilities allow. You see, so often, especially if we're thinking in this area and we're just thinking, I don't know what I would do. There are times where you genuinely don't know what you would do. But then there are times where we're just thinking too big. We're thinking about things that are beyond what the Lord has just placed right under our noses. There's always places to serve. You could ask, one of the big ways of figuring out where can I be serving? Find somebody who's serving and ask how you can help. It's easy. It's easy. And then where do you notice an area of service that is absent but needed? You know, the truth is, as it relates to a pastor and as it relates to a body, one person can't do everything. That's why the Lord gifted every member of the body. So sometimes people notice that this needs to be done or that needs to be done, and they wonder why it's not being done. And perhaps the reason it's not being done is because you hadn't started doing it yet. So where are things that you notice? You know, there are things that you notice that other people don't. We all notice different things. So I think I've said this before, but when it comes to conversations and things like that, I can pick up on things and I can notice little nuances and details and this and that. When it comes to like driving and the landscape and things around, I mean, Abby and I can be driving and I'll look and say, "Well, man, they really spruced that place up." And Abby say, "Yeah, about 10 years ago they did." What is this the first time you're noticing that? And I was like, "Yeah, it is. I hadn't noticed that before." So there are things that you're going to notice and things that I'm going to notice, and it's not always the same. And so sometimes people can get frustrated when they see an area of service that's absent but needed because nobody else is doing it. And it may be that the Lord has put that on your radar so that you can do it and that you can fill that role. And then last, I think this is the last one, what are your areas of interest? Okay, now, and the question is not what are you already good at, but what skills are you interested in learning or developing? Especially for the younger folks, you know, you may look around and say, you know, I'm not that good at anything. Well, you know, if you're 20, let's just say you get to live until you're 70, and you feel like you're not good at anything, you got 50 years to figure it out. That's a long time. Sometimes we think too short, too short-sighted. The goal in trying to figure out where are the giftings that the Lord has given me and how can I begin to develop those is not how can I be the best at this by next week, but how can I slowly and steadily for the next 50, 60, 70 years hone this area of service in that I might be beneficial to the body that Christ has made me part of. That's a pretty amazing thought, isn't it? That the Lord would give you 50 years of practice and honing that gift to the edification of the body, because that's really what He's doing. And so, what are you interested in? What areas would you take an interest to be able to learn, develop, and so forth and so on? Christ is sovereignly dispensing His gifts by His grace to whom He chooses. But you must work to develop the gifts and the skills necessary in order to be more useful in the church and in God's kingdom. So wherever you're serving right now, and by the way, it may be that your service to the church is caring for and raising the young children who are in your house right now. That may be your service to the church. So it could be a lot of different things. It doesn't mean, sometimes people have mistakenly thought that what it means is that your labor has to happen in these four walls, and that's not what it means. The labor that you are working in is affecting the people who are assembling within these four walls, okay? So maybe you're allowing or facilitating some things to be able to happen. So for instance, I think it's great that we get to have lunch together every Sunday. Guess what would end that real quick? No food. Okay. That would take care of ending that once and for all. The fact that we have primarily ladies, maybe exclusively, but primarily ladies who are serving in that capacity to facilitate fellowship, where brothers and sisters are able to spend about an hour and a half together in informal conversation every week, is working to help strengthen and edify this church. Okay, so you should be thinking big, and you should be thinking what could kind of seem a little mundane. And that's not, I'm not calling that mundane, but you can easily overlook that as if that's nothing. The same thing with those who are cleaning and so forth and so on. And so, I think that's it. So, As we think about spiritual gifts, as you think about spiritual gifts, my prayer is that as a body, we would each be thinking about service opportunities and then how we can participate for how many ever years we have left to the glory of God, to the edification of our brothers and sisters. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that that through the ascended Christ, You have given gifts to men. And You've done that because You are committed to building Your church and to edifying and bringing Your people to maturity. And so, Lord, I pray that You would bless us to recognize those opportunities that You send and that we would be willing and humble enough to participate in serving our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, where there's apprehension or where there's even confusion, I pray You would bring clarity, and I pray that You would use us. And as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, that we would follow after charity, that we would follow after love toward one another as we seek to honor You in the use of the gifts that You've given us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.